Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Boxingvoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another flagship edition. It is Sunday, and we got a lot of crow to serve, a lot of fights to talk about. Big weekend of boxing. We're going to be recapping and discussing the Huey Fury and Joseph Parker WBO heavyweight title fight that took place yesterday in the United Kingdom. And speaking of the UK, we'll talk about the UK's best promoter right now. Definitely has things, or UK boxing on smash. Eddie Hearn made a smash in the US by acquiring Daniel Jacobs as his first American boxer signee to his Matchroom New York office that will be opening up soon. We'll also recap and discuss Jorge Linares, who took on UK's own Luke Campbell. And then we'll take a trip to San Antonio to talk about the World Series of Boxing tournament that featured Yonir Doctitos, something like that. The Cuban knockout sensation, huh? We've never seen him before, but now there's definitely a lot to talk about after this weekend. We'll also touch on headlines. Obviously, Donaire got a win. Keith Machine Gun Tapia got a win. And a couple of other news and notes that we will touch on. Until then, I'm going to head on over to my co-hosts, or both, should I say, in the Golden State.
Dollar DiBiase Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
He know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. When he said, the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. We had a ton of fights this weekend. Obviously, we also had Oscar Valdez versus the guy that he fought that I have never heard of before. And then and Gilberto Ramirez versus Jesse Hart, which was a fantastic fight. Another very close, tight fight where, depending on how you judge fights, you could have saw it a different way. So I can't wait to chop it up with everyone. We have tons of news to get to, tons of fights to get to. So let's get into it.
Going to go out to our super producer, Steven Calderon.
Nothing but smooth sailing.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I like that this boxing season's been keeping us all very busy. I'm excited to hear what everyone had to say about it because I missed the Linares fight, and I've been having... But you know what? I didn't really miss too much of the action because if you're smart and if you don't get to watch the fight live, you can always listen to the Boxing Voice because Matt and Ness chopped it up in the live chat or X cam video, whatever they call that thing. And they did it really, really, they did it justice, except for Ness when he started to fall asleep at the end. But it definitely felt like I didn't miss a beat of the fight. It was very entertaining hearing you guys talk about it and giving me kind of like a live blow by blow.
Speaking of live blow, we did do one, a play-by-play for Joseph Parker and Huey Fury. We didn't see it exactly the same way the judges saw it, but I felt it was an entertaining fight nonetheless. Many times throughout that fight, I mentioned that there was a possibility that, like Tyson Fury, who fought Vladimir Klitschko and did some work that not everyone in the world was content was, Huey may not be getting the credit that we all thought he was in his boxing style. Where we are today in boxing, it's considered running to have a Islandri Lora style or a Guillermo Rigondeaux style. You know, Crawford flirts with that line, but due to the knockouts that he gets, you know, he really doesn't get any negative press, which is funny because to me, Rigondeaux holds a high knockout ratio, yet he gets the stinker stigma. But usually boxers, you know, Floyd has been known as a runner for many decades. They put his face on,
Keith Thurman at times.
Yes. Keith Thurman was also,
like in the Danny Garcia fight.
Yeah. He was called the runner in the Thurman, in the Thurman Porter and in the Thurman Garcia. Even in the Guerrero fight after the hematoma, some used the word running. Ruben Guerrero called Thurman a runner. So I don't know if the judges have started to hear the rhetoric due to how strong social media is. It's probably hard nowadays for a person like Adelaide Byrd or any other judge, you know, Julie Letterman, not to know what's going on in the world that they live in. Boxing is a niche sport, so I'm sure a friend or something can, you know, pass along and share a video. That being said, I did score it for Huey, but he didn't get the decision. But I was conscious, at least, that I knew that Joseph was pressing Huey enough, keeping him with his back to the ropes enough that I can see a Harold Letterman type of judge scoring it for Joseph Parker due to the fact that he was the aggressor. He was the one having Huey Fury's back on the ropes. He was landing punches everywhere, which is something else that I mentioned in the, you know, play-by-play, that while Joseph's work wasn't accurate, he was landing, whether it was the shoulder, the biceps, the hip, it didn't matter. He was definitely digging shots. Wasn't the stylistically the best fight? And coming off of the Andy Ruiz fight, I wanted to see a little bit more. I see his headlines of how he thinks he can crack the Joshua code. Nothing in yesterday's fight indicated that. I also see that Huey Fury took to social media and said, hey, at Joseph Parker, no one thinks you won, me included. Hopefully you give me the rematch. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they move on to bigger and better things. I was worried, shocked I am to see that Parker did get the nod in Huey's backyard. But I guess if that wasn't thorough enough, listen, we have like an hour and 40-minute show on this that we did. So, yeah, you can get my individual round analysis and really know why I scored it for Huey. But, yeah, I don't know. What about you guys?
Well, I will say this. Go ahead.
I think it's very interesting that we had Triple G Canelo last week. We had Ramirez Hart on Friday. We had Huey Fury, Joseph Parker. We had Linares Campbell. And all those fights had a similar dynamic. A guy on the back foot boxing and the other guy pressuring him and throwing a little more volume. And throughout the entire spectrum, we've had inconsistent judging throughout. I would say there's been no consistency within the sport about who is favored. You can either chalk that up for corruption if you're one of those people, or you can say it's incompetence. You can say whatever it is. You can either be like Ness and say that because of the subjectivity of judging a fight, judging a round, we're going to get that more often. We're going to get that where judging becomes much more difficult, where we have all these fights that kind of look the same. Ramirez, Hart, Canelo, Triple G, Huey Fury, Joseph Parker, those fights looked very similar, yet we had different results in every single one. I think that's interesting. I don't know really what to chalk that up to. But in the individual fight of Parker, Fury.
You know, if I could just interject, I know you hate that, but you know,
it's hard
for me to keep my thoughts right. So you just said you think it's funny that each one had a different outcome, right?
Yes.
But let's just be a little just keep it closer to home.
Okay.
I scored it for Canelo like I scored it for Fury. I like boxers. Mm-hmm. I like movers. Making someone miss, it's a talent to me. I think what Mayweather, those highlight reels of Mayweather pulling back on guys and then landing that counter. I mean, it's beautiful. It's almost like ballet.
So I think
I'm consistent. I want to make that clear. I'm consistent with the way that I score.
It's okay. And that wasn't coming at you.
I know that it wasn't, but it'll come because there was a lot of fights this weekend and there was a lot of fights in 2017, but I'm consistent.
And I think the thing about that type of style, sorry, man, it's just that boxing is a sport of convincing. You've seen a lot of reposts lately about the judging criteria. People have been snapped, taking little photos and posting on everything. And in that, you know, obviously you get effective aggression and also as well as defense. So with that type of boxing style, you have to convince the judges that you're being effective with it. You have to convince the fans, the people watching at home and the people watching in the stadium, that while you're using that, you know, head movement, lots of bouncing on your toes, that it's not only preventing you from getting hit, but that you're able to still do maximum damage to your opponent while using it. And that's kind of where some fighters tend to fall short. If you look at someone like William Monroe's a really good fighter, and he's kind of getting towards that Lara type level where it's like, it's not really worth fighting him. You're not going to look good doing it. Fury kind of has the same thing. His cousin kind of looks sort of similar in the last couple fights. So it's just, it's hard to kind of market that style when it's not going to look good, and you're not going to convince people with it. And I think that if you even consider, like, look, let's Danny Jacobs, right? Danny Jacobs just got signed, right? We're going to talk about that later. But at no point are they going to mention a William Monroe as a possible opponent for him, right? Because that style just isn't fun to watch. And Willie's not going to continue to get good shots because with it, he's not able to convince people that he's winning the fight like he sees it.
I think that's dependent of who the fighter is, like that idea. If you're a Floyd Mayweather, no one cares that you're a runner and that you're a defensive fighter. If you're a Bernard Hopkins, no one cares because you're a legend. You know, maybe some did, but I mean, the consensus was, we accept you. We accept that you're winning, even though that's your style. And for others, we don't accept that. I think for some reason, boxing fans, media have sort of picked who that's allowed and who that isn't allowed for. Some guys, they can go on the back foot and they can box, and we will give them rounds. Other guys, they don't get that consideration. They don't get that benefit of the doubt.
Do you think that also the dynamic of who's the title challenger and who's the champion plays a factor? Because you look at the fight, it's like Parker was the champion and Fury wasn't necessarily ripping it off of his waist, the belt. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I think another commonality between all these fights I've mentioned that were close, that had similar dynamics, they were highly close. All these fights were highly close. I think we can all agree that if you scored it for Jesse Hart, I wouldn't really say that you're crazy. If you scored it for Luke Campbell, I wouldn't really say you're crazy. If you scored it for Huey Fury, I'm definitely not saying you're crazy. If you scored it for Canelo or Triple G, I'm not saying you're crazy. So when we have these very close fights that we have two fighters with diametrically different styles in the ring, we're going to get that sort of division within the fan base saying one guy won it, or in the other side saying the other guy won. Because like Ness said, like we've said on numerous shows, there is a philosophy with the sport. Some guys like the boxer. Some guys like Mayweather. Some guys don't. Some guys like a Mayorga. Some guys like a Roberto Duran. And I think there's so many variables. There's so much bias into it. And when I mean bias, I don't mean a malicious bias. I mean just a natural one. Like me, I'm a small guy, so I don't like heavyweights. I naturally don't connect to guys that are lumbering around with no cardio. You know, so that's just a personal bias for me, but that doesn't mean I can't judge a fight. But I don't like heavyweight fighting. You know, everyone has their personal bias heading into a fight. Everyone has their other variables. And just because you and I and others may know what the criteria is for scoring a round, many people don't follow that criteria. So we're going to continue to get these very close fights, getting very weird scoring, and a lot of people being upset about it.
Totally. Yeah, that's definitely what I was alluding to earlier, too. It's like, if you're going to have that style, you got to be able to convince people with it. Like Mayweather was able to convince people with it because even if you looked at the numbers, his scoring percentage was equally as high as like his ability to make a person miss. You know, so you have to be able to work with – you have to be able to have a fine balance. Someone like a Rigondeaux, he doesn't have that fine balance, I don't think, because he just it's so predominantly defensive. Like, that's the difference between fighters like that and then other fighters that I think are a bit easier, like, to market. Like Ness said, Terrence Crawford, he's not dominantly defensive.
I don't know about that. I feel like we were told.
No, I think Terrence Crawford is dominant.
No, not about that part specifically. I'm talking about the whole point that Steven said. I think guys like Mayweather, we were told, are great, so we should accept that. If that was some beast that I had never heard of fighting an A-side, you know, and let's say the Maidana fight, the first Maidana fight, for example, if Mayweather was some B side that we never heard of and Maidana was an A side, do we think, you know, Maidana, whoever that was in this hypothetical fight, would have lost? I don't know. I think because it's Mayweather, we often lean toward that. Same with, like, Pernell Whitaker. Like, with Pernell, we always lean towards, well, he's so defensively sound, so he must be in control. He must be winning. And again, I'm not saying that that's wrong or that Mayweather didn't actually win the Maidana fight. I'm just saying that it's so subjective that we've said this on numerous shows, that biases go into it. When you say if a championship versus a contender, does that make a difference? It definitely does. For a lot of people, it does, because there's the old adage of if you have to take it from the champ, right? How many people still to this day think that? My dad still says that every time we watch a fight. You know, be like, you got to take it from the champ. And I'm like, Dad, that's a myth. Like, that's never in the rules, ever. But a lot of people think that. So, again, there's really nothing you can do with these close judges or these controversial scorecards. Unless we completely change the scoring system, there's nothing we're going to change.
It's never going to change, because if I was a judge, right, I mean, I'd probably be LLA Bird, right? I mean, I didn't have it as wide, but – you know, you like what you like, so you're going to score it like that. That's why Harold Letterman is consistent with the come forward nature and the guys that he likes and he thinks are winning the fights. I mean, it's hard to change a person's, you know, likes and dislikes, for sure. But Daniel Jacobs, the Miracle Man, and the name is fitting. It would have took. You asked me a year ago, even 2 weeks ago, what's it going to take for an Al Haymon fighter to get a deal, a multiple fight deal on HBO? And I would say it took a miracle, or it would take a miracle, man. And it did. Daniel Jacobs. Now, I wonder how much they paid. Obviously, we won't get any of that information, but it'll be interesting to know how much they're giving him for the. It sounds like a three-fight deal. And it sounds like it's going to be Luis Cubis Ares for the first fight. There's also some, interviews where he says he likes Lemieux, but does anybody really think Lemieux is going to be fighting him in November? I think not. The Roc Nation signed Luis Cubis Ares. Sounds like the fight that they're going to make. Multiple sources are reporting that. And I like that fight.
I don't.
I know you don't, but that's because you don't know Aries.
I know Aries. Aries is a good guy. I follow him on IG.
I'm sure you do, but you don't watch his fights, you know? And he's a live underdog. He's a underrated body puncher and power puncher. Most of his stoppages come from body shots. And he's an active middleweight in terms of, I mean, you could call him active in terms of the fights. Obviously, not the level of opposition. Daniel Jacobs, if we go according to all rankings, he should be like number three, number four, and so that we don't argue, at least top five middleweight. So it's axing a lot of varies. But it would be interesting to see how his pressure, even though we've seen Daniel Jacobs handle Triple G's pressure fairly well. But this man, Luis Cubis Ares, brings a body attack kind of pressure. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, nothing is set in stone in terms of the actual fight, but I'm just shocked that HBO spent money on Jacobs. I thought they were done. They're buying fighters again.
I don't know why you're more shocked about HBO. I'm more shocked about Eddie Hearns.
Well, no, I think that Eddie Hearns is...
Technically, Jacobs' last fight was on HBO.
Yeah, but Eddie Hearns is the new Lou DiBella, right? Once upon a time, Lou DiBella was the vice president of boxing in HBO, and he left on good terms, started DiBella Entertainment, and had a great relationship with HBO, got a lot of dates on HBO, and that's why guys like Sergio Martinez and Kermit Cintron and others had the ability to get on HBO so often. But, you know, all that switched when Lou aligned himself with Al. And, I mean, let's be honest. Al needs – it doesn't look – I mean, I almost don't want to say these words out loud, but it does look like PBC isn't the PBC of before, where – okay, it does look like PBC is not the WBSS of this year, right? The World Boxing Super Series has the whole PBC thing going on. New ring apron, new corners. You know, they got Hans Zimmer. They got Jimmy Lennon. They have these special lights. So that
all the different things that PBC brought on their first year.
Exactly. Everything that PBC brought the first year. Now PBC is Premier Boxing Champions, brought to you by Showtime on the banner. So, you know, I guess they needed this. They needed to open that door. There are a lot of fighters. And if you watch the interview that we did with, you know, Eddie Hearn last night, he says, you know, my intentions are to keep Daniel Jacobs active. A fighter like that needs to remain active, no minimum than three fights a year. And he said, as soon as this announcement was made, a bunch of American fighters started contacting me via phone, text, and DM saying, can they get a part of this? The problem with that is he said these words. I don't want to sign a bunch of fighters, then I can't keep them active. And that's what Al Haymon did. He signed a bunch of people. And, I mean, when's the last time Laura fought versus the rabbi, right? And then now he's fighting Gache. And when we talked to him yesterday in Texas, he tells us, I don't know what I want to do next. First, I'm going to win this fight and, like I always do, go on vacation. That just sounds like a guy content. He's content, yeah. You know?
He got that Canelo money.
He got a lot of money.
And very quickly, first off, Daniel Jacobs with Luis Arias, that's just a whack fight. I'm sorry. I think anyone in the top five coming off, and let's be honest, Daniel Jacobs is top three, coming off a very close loss, Triple G, where some people, including myself, gave him that fight. Him going outside the top 10 for a fight, I'm not happy about that. I think it's kind of pointless. I think it's a major step backwards. There's no...
Can I interject? Are we 100% sure that Aries is outside of the top 10? That sounds a little wrong.
Triple G, Canelo, Daniel Jacobs, David Lemieux, Ryota Moreira, Rob Brandt.
Rob Brandt's no longer there.
That's right. Rob Brandt moved up. Good point. Good point. Hassan Nadam. Who else? You want to throw maybe like a Jason Quigley up there? I think he...
If you're going to throw Quigley, why can't you throw Luis Cubas Aries? Quigley's biggest win is Tapia, and he just got it. And he went life and death.
Who's Aries' biggest win?
I don't know. His last fight out and all his fights, he looks good.
That's great.
Like you guys tell me, eye test.
Andy Ruiz looked great against a bunch of people. Andy Ruiz looked great against a bunch of people.
Eye test is subjective.
Then fought Joseph Parker and lost.
To the fighter, I guess.
No, there's guys that passed the eye test, but again, that's just passing the eye test. You know what I mean? Like, to be ranked, you need to beat guys.
I'm going to have to pull up his resume, bro.
Hold on, just real quick. Ness, I got it for you.
Because this kid's been fighting.
Jamal Charlo's definitely ranked above him.
Louis Cuba's last fight.
You're still scratching at the bit to get 10 people in the list, man. Let's use our fingers. Come on. Canelo, Triple G, Daniel Jacobs, David Lemieux, Ndam, Toyota Corolla. Who else?
Charlo.
He just got there and he fought Highland, but okay. Based
and
on
then Eddie Hearn said that he didn't want that
Let's
fight.
Be honest. His resume is much more.
Yeah, that's what you're basing it on, though. You're basing on eye test and what he did last year, not what he did done in the division. So all I'm saying is tonight.
Sergey Dyrchenko, Billy Joe Saunders.
Lee is still ranked number 7 in the ring.
You got one more you could fit in there.
Centennial, Willie Monroe, Andy Lee.
Hugo Centennial, because he beat up Aleem? When a fight ago,
we were high on Aleem.
But a fight ago, we wrote him off. You and I.
Yes.
You and I.
Yes. And then you come back after a big win. That happens.
Okay, but he took a loss. So
and,
you
and, me- and again, hold on, hold on.
I what about your boy Sergey Derevyanchenko?
We put him in the list.
Hold on, time out. I can easily name 10 guys. I think I have named 10 guys that could be ranked above Luis Arias.
No, you named 9. And then you start saying Centennial.
Hold on. Canelo, Triple G, Charlo, Jacobs, Saunders, Dave Lemieux, Derevyanchenko, Hassan Nahdam, Centennial, Andy Lee, Willie Monroe Jr.
No, you just threw Andy Lee now. And Willie Monroe. And Willie Monroe just lost.
That's 11.
Inactive.
But Willie Monroe is more proven than the division.
Willie Monroe just lost, so he's not even in the running.
Automatically outside the top 10. Daniel Jacobs just lost.
He doesn't drop top 10.
Daniel Jacobs just lost. Is he outside the top 10 now?
Steven, it's not about dropping top 10. It's about he just lost. There's no way that
Billy Joe Saunders.
Yo, in November. There's no way.
And Willie Monroe Jr. is definitely ranked above Luis Arias.
I said there's no way they're going to put him in the fight in November.
I'm not talking about who these guys – I'm not talking about any of these guys fighting Jacobs. I'm talking about Luis Arias being outside the top 10. And I'm talking about – hold on. I'm talking about a top 3 guy in the division coming off a controversial loss, taking the guy outside the top 10. I, for one, usually do not like that.
And I think it could be argued that he's outside the top 10. You threw Andy Lee and Monroe. You know? And then you threw Centennial. You're just naming names not to give Arias a chance. He's legitimate. He's earned his way the hard way.
He has definitely not earned a Daniel Jacobs fight.
Yo, he earned the fight on HBO. If they choose to put him in there with Jacobs, that's their fault.
He
earned
the fight on HBO. He has fought on pay-per-view. I've seen him fight live. I'm saying he has done nothing to deserve a fight with a top 3 middleweight. What has he done to deserve a fight with a top 3 middleweight?
Maybe not a top 3 middleweight, but that's what top 3 middleweights do when they're coming off a loss. They want to tune up.
That's great, but I don't think Daniel Jacobs is one coming off a bad loss. I think he's coming off a very controversial loss. And if I was Daniel Jacobs, I would capitalize on it as much as possible and fight a top contender and get yourself back in the mix as fast as possible.
Or at least someone with a name where you can get some more money. No offense to Cuba, but that's not a big name. Like Andy Lee's a bigger name than Cuba.
You can't think Daniel Jacobs versus Luis Arias is a great matchup.
I don't think it's a great matchup, but it's a good matchup.
It's a decent matchup.
Arias earned his shot.
You definitely cannot say that.
And he's definitely arguably top 10, especially if you're going to be throwing names like
arguably, but I don't think he is.
Arias's last fight was in it was June.
On the Ward fight.
It was Arif Magomedov. Yeah,
undefeated. That dude was undefeated.
Yeah, and he knocked him down once in round 5, TKO in
for the body. And we watched that fight live. He did hella good.
Also, just to note, BoxRec says on Cuba's schedule that his next fight is 11-11 against Daniel Jacobs.
There you go.
Look, I don't know like if you're friends with Luis Arias or if he's friends with the show. I'm just saying this isn't the greatest matchup.
Oh, that is such a cheap shot that you're trying to throw.
I don't know. Like
So I gotta be friends with him, but you're not friends with Centennial trying to fucking say he's top 10.
When have I ever met Centennial?
That's my point. That's my point. Because you're making a case for Centennial. Am I saying that he's your
I was just trying to name guys that could be ranked above him. And I've ranked at least 13. I've said 13 guys that could be ranked above him.
No, you said 9 and then
You want me to add Jason Quigley in there too? Because you counted, I've counted him at least 2 times, and you keep leaving
again,
him
again. Again, if you're gonna say names like Quigley,
and he's more proven,
all those are the same name, bro. They're all the same name. Quigley got what? 11 fights, 12 fights. Come on, you're bugging right now.
And again, I would not like Daniel Jacobs fighting any of those guys. You don't seem to understand my argument here. I don't want Daniel Jacobs to fight those guys,
brother.
I don't want Daniel Jacobs to fight any of those bottom top 10. Top 15 guys. I don't want those guys.
Well, that's not HBO. Isn't Showtime? You know that. Guys that doesn't mean all the time.
I don't care about what HBO is. I care about what I want. That's and as a consumer, I want to give my opinion.
About. That's what now, we're talking about.
I understand, Ness. I'm telling you what my opinion is. What my opinion. When you say Daniel Jacobs versus Luis Arias, I'm gonna give my opinion on that. Regardless of if it's realistic or not, or if it's going to happen, I am still going to give my opinion on it because this is a talk show.
I just don't think calling it a trash fight is cool.
It's a whack fight. It's, I say it's trash. It's a whack fight.
Whack, trash, doesn't matter. All the same thing. I think he earned his shot.
Especially the hard way for that.
Especially the hard way with a promotional company that barely gets some television fights.
Who have he beat to earn that shot?
He earned that shot.
Who? Against who?
Like he said, Sharif Magomed. Who? Highly touted.
Okay.
Eastern European guy. Had a lot of press on him. People thought he was a knockout artist.
Okay.
And he's got other names. I told you when he was like,
You just want to argue. It's fine.
When he was like 7-0, he beat Donnell Livingston. I can't even believe that. So
that's great.
Anyway, moving on. We got, excuse me.
So that doesn't earn you Daniel Jacobs. But
no, it doesn't. I mean, beating Emmanuel Lim earns you Daniel Jacobs in your eyes.
I didn't say he deserved that fight, but if you want to keep forgetting what my argument is and misrepresenting what I say, that's fine.
All right. Jorge Linares.
What a champ.
This fight, I wasn't really impressed with Linares. I felt like Luke Campbell was what we're talking about, Luis Aries, a up-and-coming prospect, really unknown, you know, maybe one name on his resume to show that he may or may not be on that level. And I think that Linares played with his food is the best way that I can explain my analysis of this fight. I would have liked to see him be a little more dominant. I'm not saying that he needed a stoppage, but he did a lot of in and out work. Even the telecast was complaining, saying that this was his older style where he's tentative and not really a committer. And I can see where they were coming from with that because, you know, he would do the occasional flurry here and there. But I think that Luke did a lot of good work with his jab, or at least good use of his jab to kind of maintain Linares on the outside a lot in this fight in different spots. Never really consistently, obviously. But Luke Campbell impressed me. He had a lot of confidence, you know, up until the knockdown. But the knockdown only made him a little tighter and on defense and stuff. But it did make him a little less, you know, active and more timid or tentative. It was a decent fight, but I just expected so much more. Linares is always so heavily touted as this great technician and all this stuff. And I just expected to see him doing more than just landing shots on the gloves of Campbell. You know, I wanted to see more of that knockdown.
I think Campbell just really overperformed. I think we all underestimated what Campbell could bring to the table, and I think he just went in and put on a great performance. I think Campbell sort of showed not necessarily that he could beat the guys at that level right now, but he can definitely contend with those guys. You throw him in there with guys like Robbie Easter Jr., Dennis Shafikov, Mikey Garcia, Terry Flanagan. Campbell's going to do decent. He might win a couple of those. He's maybe a couple more fights away from reaching that championship potential, in my opinion. Plus, you know, 2 weeks ago, his father passed away. To go into a fight with that on your back and perform in that way is truly amazing. So just first off, prayers and condolences for him and his family, and just majorly impressed by what he's able to do with that. Going into the ring. Again, I think your assessment of the fight's accurate. The jab of Campbell definitely frustrated Linares. I think there was some power from Campbell that we really didn't see because Linares was never really hurt. But there was some sort of respect that Linares gave Campbell that I think was due to some power that Campbell possessed. I think Linares just did a little bit more in a few more rounds. If you scored it for Campbell, I'm not upset, though. I think Campbell arguably did enough to win that, but I think Linares edged him out just slightly by doing the better work, a little bit more work, and a little bit flashier of the work.
Hey, guys, can we – no offense, but can we just stop beating around the bush a little bit when it comes to Linares? Because let's kind of be real. The best thing Linares has done is stuck around. Because not too long ago, 3-4 years ago, or 2 years ago even, the people in that lightweight like the division is not as strong as it used to be. It used to have guys like Crawford down there. You had guys like Broner down there. Ray Beltran, who's kind of still sometimes down there. you know, and then you even had like Terry Flanagan. Like those guys were all down there, and he, DeMarco, you know what I mean? These guys were either beating him, or I would favor them all to beat him, save for maybe Flanagan. Like Linares is really flashy, like you said, but like his best wins are kind of like over like Kevin Mitchell and Anthony Crolla, right? And like random other guys from other countries. It's like we used to have a term on this show for Europeans who were like good in Europe, but not anywhere else. You know, it's Linares. I like him. I'm a fan of him. I'm not trying to hate on him, but it's like, I really think that the reason why he's been able to shine is just that he's stuck to his grind. He's gotten better. I'll say that he's gotten more confident. And after like suffering the knockout losses that he did, he's developed a little bit more tougher attitude. You know, he's willing to walk through shots a little bit easier than he was before, but he's good. He's not really great or near Steve, great.
Let me ask you a question. Terry Flanagan, Rob Easter Jr., Dennis Shafikov, Mikey Garcia. Hold on. Let me finish. Ness, before you try to clown me. Those top guys in the division, who does he beat?
None.
He beats Terry Flanagan probably.
You don't think that he beats Shafikov because of his superior
body? That pressure, hell no. Nah, that pressure.
Yeah, I got to agree. Like, Shafikov gave Robert Easter a real tough.
Well, maybe we need to reassess Robert Easter.
Dude, Robert Easter, I'm sorry, dude, but Robert Easter would be able to dismantle Linares with his reach advantage and his power behind the right hand. He's the way he's able to set it up, dude. I'm sorry. Jorge Linares is good, but it's like, you look at his resume, it leaves you wanting. It's like, okay, this guy's the best in the division.
Forget the resume,
just because he's been there longest.
Steven. Look at the fight. I mean, just with Campbell keeping that jab at bay. Like, sometimes he would keep fully extended as a joust. And then Linares couldn't help but to just punch at the jab. Like, no, get it out my way. No, get it. Like, I was like, yo, he's panicky as hell. Is he going to do something? It was just a lot of wasted movement. A lot of wasted.
I wouldn't say panicky.
A guy like Shafikov would bring pressure to him that he doesn't like. Listen,
he HBO does great against small guys with pressure.
HBO gave this guy a tune-up fight after DeMarco stopped him and cut him all up by the name of Sergio Thompson. And that's when we all found out that Sergio's nickname was Yayo. And Yayo put the hands on Linares. And he beat Linares off of HBO. This was Linares' welcome and back to HBO. But you know why? Because they want to keep him long enough for Mikey to whoop on that ass. And since we're talking Flanagan right away tweeted out to Linares, like, hey, Linares, I don't know, maybe we should pull it up. Can you pull it up, Steven?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, he's got a tweet. I'm going to paraphrase, then Steven will clean it all up with the facts. He says something like, hey, Linares, let's get it on. Don't wait too long. And then fucking Mikey Garcia jumps on the tweet like, hey, can we do this by December? Because I'm trying to eat tamales for Christmas. I love fucking Mikey. You know what I'm saying? Like, meaning, yo, hurry up so that I could get both of y'all either one of y'all in the ring. I mean, I love Mikey. This new Mikey anyway. This Mikey, I want to make legacy. I want to do it right now. I love this Mikey right here. Speaking of Mikey, Terrence,
hold on real quick before you go on. Sorry, I just want to show this from Terry Flanagan's Twitter account. It says, Jorge Linares, I've not got an opponent. You've not. Let's have a unification fight. Oh no, wait, that was in July. Sorry.
Yeah, come back. It was sometime yesterday. But let's talk about Dorticos. Dorticos. I think it's Dorticos. Sounds
right. Doritos.
No, it's not Doritos. It was definitely Doritos before I watched them fight. But now I am going to, you know, definitely pronounce it with my Hispanic bilingual tongue. So it's definitely Doctiros.
Yo, Rayota Moreira is still Toyota Corolla for
you. Yeah, because he hasn't fought anyone to make him not a Corolla.
And got robbed? Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. Not like Dorticos. Dorticos did his thing.
Yeah, but who did he do it against?
I mean, Kutusov.
Yeah, who is that?
The guy they put in front of him.
Yeah, come on, Ness. You're not gonna play this game with me? Come on. At least go along with it. Who is this guy beat? You know, like, is it? Should we really be that impressed by this knockout?
That guy.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, like, should we be that impressed by this knockout? I'm impressed. Hold on. For the record, I'm impressed by it. He's definitely a dark horse in this tournament now. But I didn't know who he was fighting. I didn't know who he was.
I mean, I wouldn't be impressed if he had 21 and 20 knockouts and then came in here and went a 12-round decision. He's got my attention is all I can say.
Good point.
A 3-round fight, and he said the right things. We interviewed him before and after. Shout out to Anthony Rodriguez, one of the hardest working Texas correspondents we got. Actually, the only Texas correspondent we got. But he's still the hardest working. And he interviewed him before and after. And you know, Dortitos was clear on bringing destruction. And he was clear on, you know, not to. And a lot of Cubans showed up to this fight to be there with him.
A lot.
But he was clear that he's nothing like them. He said that in our interview.
He isn't. He doesn't box like them at all.
Well, he showed that. He was going. And he's going for gusto. You could see him yelling as he's throwing these punches. And he's committing. He's committing. Even the knockout punch, he ate a jab to land the right. So definitely impressed. Not really impressed with Nonito Donaire on the undercard, I swear. He took a lot of shots by somebody I never heard of. The guy that he was fighting really looked like a little boy. I thought this was like straight up tune-up. And I think Donaire went to like the 7th maybe or 10th. I don't even know. Maybe you could tell me. But he went longer than I wanted to see. And it could also be this, fight fans. I mean, at the end of the day, there's so much fucking boxing now. I'm getting tired of all the boxing. So, look, like yesterday I was sleepy with Linares. So now I got to be stingy, too. Like, guys like Linares putting on snooze fests like that, you can't get my time. Now, Dortito's knocking people out in 2 rounds. You can get my time. Keith Tapia doing what he did to Latif Coyote in the cruiserweight division on the undercard of this, he can get my time. Now, I went over this in my head. Maybe I should stop, right, and let you get your opinion on Dortitos instead of going through the whole WBS card. I'm sorry, man.
Thank you. Thank
Matt, you need to tag in. Be a good teammate and tag in.
Yo, you know, just take a breath, Ness. I know that there's monologues. It's okay, Ness.
This is so much fights. I'm on overload, bro.
Right? Yeah, plus we have the Friday card to get to as well.
God, I forgot about it. I watched that one too, though.
And let's be honest, we really didn't even get into Joseph Parker here. We just argued about scoring. But Dortitos or whatever his name is, I think he's awesome. I think he definitely brings a level of excitement because he's that unknown guy. He knocks the guy out in the second round. That's very impressive, especially when these other fights are probably going to go towards the later rounds, in my opinion, to the Breedis, Mike Perez fight. That's why I'm going to go to the later rounds. Usyk Huck went to the later rounds. This fight was quick. Does that mean he can go in and beat Usyk, who is pretty much the favorite of this tournament? I don't know. I think Usyk is still the clear favorite. But that power seemed real. That power seemed devastating because that right hand that knocked him out, it didn't look like it hurt him that bad the way he fell. And then when the camera like panned on his face and you saw the look in his eyes,
That was Curtis Stevens.
You could tell that he was Curtis fucked.
And he had a little bit of blood coming out the side of his mouth. So it was like
cross-eyed too.
Scary movie scary. I'm like, damn, he killed
him. Yeah, that was some devastating power that didn't look like it. That's the dangerous type of power. So can't wait to see what he does next. I didn't watch the rest of the card, to be honest. I didn't watch the Donaire or the Tapia fight.
Yo, I remember I saw this fight and I kind of – did you guys notice when he caught Kudryashov?
Good job.
I thought it was Kudryashov.
The guy that got knocked out.
You are so not Russian.
He caught him with a left hook in round one that I didn't think landed clean, but you could tell it wobbled him. It like got his attention real early, real quick. And he didn't even do that great of a job setting it up. I mean, he did because he was throwing some to the body right before he did it and then came up over the top of the left hook. But like, it definitely didn't seem like it had all of its mustard behind it. And then in that second round, he was literally just hitting him with like a two piece, and then a double jab overhand right. And it just opened him up for that. And it didn't even hit on the chin. It looked like it hit like the high cheekbone, and it just knocked the sense out of that dude. That it did definitely look like the power is for real.
Yeah, he instantly.
Very quickly, I want to say that World Boxing Super Series, if you're listening, please fix your fucking servers for the love of God. I could not watch the entire event up until the main event. And even then, it was in 480.
Did you keep getting an error?
Yes.
Like, yes. Certain territories or some shit?
Yo, so Roblox Super Series, take a page from Joseph Parker Hiri Fury.
But why are they not on YouTube?
Just move to YouTube. For the love of God, just move to YouTube.
I just don't understand why they're
charge $2 or $5 for a card and we will all pay for it.
No, Matt, look, they're not even charging. They're not even charging on their website, right? But the thing is their servers can't handle the traffic. So use the embedded YouTube player.
Yes, I mean, just use it.
You'll still get people to your website. Just use the fucking player because, yeah, it was bad. I mean, I had to watch it the next day on a YouTube Russian stream, which was okay because my ears were able to draw into the Hispanic, and that was the trainer of Keith Tapia. So throughout that fight, it was perfect. I could hear him giving Keith Tapia instruction and Keith Tapia following it to a T. He looked so great last night that I said, damn, who the fuck beat this guy? And then I remembered it was Andrew the Beast Tabidi. And I'm like, wow, how good is Tabidi then? Because, yo, this guy, he handled Latif Coyote really good. Did you watch this fight?
No.
No. Damn, none of you guys.
I couldn't watch it. The stream wasn't working.
No, it's on YouTube. I hope some of the listeners can check it out, bro. I mean, he really, really outboxed them, but not in a Huey Fury Canelo way. He boxed them in a Crawford way, like really putting some mustard on those shots. And, I mean, they had these things. Like, they would say little codes. And well, not codes, but it was just Spanish. But, you know, not exactly full sentences. And he was like, El Explosivo! Which means explosive, right? And yo, fucking Tapia would just drop and just give him like 2-3 straight left hooks to the body. He looked really good. He landed a straight right hand at the very end of the bell, sent Cayo down. He was extremely hurt from that. They had to even do the whole fucking driving while you're drunk test on him. Come forward, walk left, walk right. He got saved by the bell in every sense of the phrase, I'm telling you. Tapia looked good. Good. Now, I will say there was a lot of times that I questioned to myself, how are you going to phrase this? Because I don't want I don't want to take away from how good he looked, but he still did stay in danger longer than his trainer wanted him to, right? You would hear his trainer sometimes tell him, like, get out of there, you know, and another coach was like, yo, what the hell would he say? I think he would say, look pretty. Lúcete, lúcete. So, you know, that would mean like Tapia would let his hands go instead of from the traditional high guard, which he was had tremendous success. His jab, he's been working it. And I felt bad too. I know Flex Senquez, which is his previous trainer, doesn't look like that was Flex in there. I mean, I could be wrong. I had a very shitty YouTube stream, something like 480p. So I could be wrong. But it didn't look like Flex. It didn't sound like Flex. But it is, you know, someone who's obviously the same complexion as Flex and both talks English and Spanish. But the combination of the two was great. He did an interview with us with Anthony Rodriguez in Texas, obviously. And he mentioned how good and comfortable he was with the trainer, but didn't say the name. So I don't know. But he was happy with his performance. You could check out, obviously, all the post-fight interviews to all the fights, both Linares. And we got interviews with Eddie Hearn speaking on the Daniel Jacobs signing. We got a great interview with Luke Campbell and Doctitos. Why am I pronouncing it like if I'm white? Doritos? Doctitos? I don't know. Maybe I just got to hear him say it, right? But, yeah, man, definitely got a lot of post-fight interviews on the YouTube channel. And I just wanted to shout out Keith Tapia. He looked really good. So I guess we should talk about Ramirez, right? That's what you want to talk about? Matt is like dying to talk about this. Because you go to their gym or what?
No, I don't go to Ramirez's gym. Ramirez trains in Mexico predominantly. Valdez, I've met a few times. He's a very nice guy. First off, KO'd or Latif KO'd. He hadn't fought in 2 years. I want to put that out there. You know, not saying that Keith Tapia didn't do great, but, you know, I haven't seen the fight, but just want to say this was meant to be a showcase / tune-up coming off that Tabidi loss.
I don't know, man. If it was a showcase, I don't think that Freddie Roach would still be his trainer. Freddie Roach doesn't really have fringe contenders, right? Like, look, Ruslan's gone, and if he comes back, he's not with Freddie, right? Coyote's
We don't know about that. I don't know about that.
You're right.
I don't know. But anyways, that was just a very quick, you know, side point on that fight. Shout out to Keith Tapia and Nonito Donaire.
You're trying to shit on Tapia and the way that he looked phenomenal.
I didn't see the fight. I'm not seeing the fight. I'm just addressing the matchup. We can address Valdez because you're the one that you say I have a bias towards. Valdez looked like shit. Valdez,
he's always getting in wars with lower level.
He needs to stop doing that, man.
Yeah, but that's why he's just one of those guys who just loves to fight, though. Like,
he does. It's annoying.
He prefer. I think he's one of those guys who get bored. Yeah, he'll get bored if he box.
He will get bored, but I think the Ramirez Hart fight was arguably the fight of the weekend. I think that fight was entertaining. It had a knockdown. It was close. It was controversial in scoring. I don't
know. Who said it's controversial? Because I heard you say that earlier, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking go in on Matt with this. How was it controversial? Ramirez.
I saw some people scoring it for Hart.
Ramirez pushed that entire fight, plus got the knockdown. Hart had spots, but he fought in spurts. Like, he could barely give you 3 minutes of the round. Like, even in his corner, they were happy. As soon as that 12th round finished, Hart went to his corner, and you could hear multiple people in his corner saying, man, you went 12 rounds. You went 12 rounds. Even his post-fight was like, man, I went 12 rounds. Like, he never went 12 rounds. He was like, everybody thought I wasn't going to be able to go 12 rounds. Like, whoever he hangs with had his mind brainwashed. So all he set his eyes out or his heart to do was last the 12 rounds. Right. But I don't think he did enough to get the fight. It was a
good fight. Very quickly. I don't think he won. I want to make that very clear. I thought Ramirez won. But I saw people score it for Hart. I can see how someone can score it for Hart. And just with the theme of the past week and a half, it's come on, we've talked about it. You can see a scorecard for Jesse Hart. I may not agree with it. You may not agree with it. But to say it's impossible, I don't agree with. I may be hyperbolic and too quick to say it's controversial because that's equating it with Triple G Canelo's controversy. And that's not true. They're not the same. But I thought it was a close fight. It was a fight that wasn't supposed to be close, and it turned out to be very close.
I guess I can see what you're saying, but like putting it in comparison to the Huey Fury fight, right? And Parker,
that was much more controversial.
And Parker being Gilberto Ramirez, right? Like Ramirez is Parker in those fights. So I think Ramirez was way more accurate than Parker. I think when he was applying his pressure and putting his man on the ropes the way that Parker was, I think that Ramirez was actually landing big shots. Don't get me wrong, you know. What's this kid's name?
Jesse Hart.
That's right. Hart would have the occasional uppercut and then followed up with a big left hook or something, but he could not sustain the pace of Ramirez. Ramirez was letting him hands go. He was letting him hands go. He was hurting. He was hurting Hart. Hart was clinching a lot. Ramirez didn't want to clinch. Ramirez, they can market him. He's going to be able to be one of those guys because he is a fighter. He's not going to stop fighting. He might not have all the talent in the world, but he grinds it out and he hits hard. He hurt Hart. He hurt Hart. He dropped Hart. Hart hurt him too. I know Hart. He's going to have to go off the reservation to get a rematch, right? He's going to have to, like, actually fight in his fucking division. You know what I mean? He's been over there with Top Rank getting all these Philadelphia fights, the Sean whoevers that he's been fighting for so long, just waiting for this title shot. Before Ramirez, it was supposed to be Abraham, but they gave it to Ramirez first. Now they gave it to Hart. But he should not get another title shot until he fights some other 68-pounders that we know. You know, they've been keeping him undefeated for a while. Now that he lost that O, let him go. Push him off the fucking bird's nest. See if he could fly. You know, let's put him out there. Maybe a Jay Leon Love. No one really likes Jay Leon Love. Let him get him out of there. But he did well. He's got to work on that tank. And you know, it's tough. I know that's one of the toughest things. You know, it's either road work or God knows what. Some people just don't have it, but you got to work on that tank because Ramirez was letting those hands go. If not, it's gonna take for him to be a little more defensively sound so that when he releases, he brings those hands back home quick enough for someone not to land because Ramirez landed. I was impressed with Ramirez. This is two fights now, too. You know?
Dude, a Jay Leon Love fight with him, though, would be ugly. Real ugly, real boring.
I mean, I think that Hart is aggressive. But again, Ramirez was just more resilient. I think that if you allow if Hart to push you back, he'll be the bully in the fight. And he's athletic. He tried everything. Even after not getting knocked down, he got up. I mean, he fought a tough fight.
I definitely was impressed with the way that he got up from the knockdown and continued to fight on. Like, I thought that Zurdo was going to be able to get him out of there. Do you ever kind of feel a little disappointed in Ramirez, though, in his inability to finish an opponent? Like you said, you kept bringing up, he fights, he grinds it out. But
I don't think he's the biggest power puncher. That's why.
I don't know, man. But it wasn't a combination of punches that knocked Hart down.
One punch.
It was a really good uppercut.
He can punch. I think he's got to learn how to place his punches together a little more. He seems young. Like, even I don't know if it's his face. How old is he really? Because he just seems so innocent.
He's young. But very quickly, I think that Gilberto Ramirez is sort of like the version we all wished Chavez Jr. was.
Dude, that's what you would wish.
Hell yeah, right? Like, he's that Mexican pseudo brawler that can box a little bit too.
You still don't know though, Matt. I mean, Chavez, at the end of the day, he beat the Jesse Harts of the world. It's when he started mixing it up with the upper level of the opposition. You know, I think Chavez could beat a fucking Arthur Abraham, please.
Like, I don't know if Gilberto Ramirez beats a George Groves, a James DeGale, a David Benavidez. Like, those are going to be very tough fights for all those guys, let's be honest. Those are all very close fights. But those are the fights that we need to start seeing. It's those matchups, those top five guys together. Hopefully this tournament sort of clears up some of this division a little bit. We either get a Eubank or a Groves being the champion of it, probably. And either Benavidez or Gilberto Ramirez fight that guy. I think that, you know, this division can get cleaned up and consolidated very quickly.
Yeah, man.
He's 26 years old. I remember meeting somebody once right after he beat Arthur Abraham, and I was super impressed. I was like, whoa, he went out there as a young guy. He had a game plan. He stuck to it. He followed it. I thought it would be a close fight, but it really wasn't. It really was him just boxing. You know, you saw him not just doing his workman-like style. He was actually jabbing and moving and slipping punches. To me, it showed that other gear that we talk about on the show a lot that a fighter needs to continue to progress as a champion. But then I met somebody not so long after. They're like, yeah, he's trash. And I was like, how are you going to call him trash? Like, he just showed another level to his game plan. But I think about that every time when I see him, because you do feel that, like, that's why I asked you guys, do you feel a little bit of disappointment when you watch him, like his inability to kind of finish guys he probably should be finishing?
I said it in the preview show. I felt that, remember, I said Hart was going to be a difficult fight. I know people didn't know Hart because he was a local fighter here in the tri-state area, didn't get much TV time. But he had the pedigree, you know, father Cyclone Hart. And he's from Philly, so he was tough. And he definitely showed some things and some vulnerabilities. I mean, Ramirez is definitely subject to the uppercut. This guy Hart was killing him with that uppercut all night, but it was just one uppercut. So many other fights. Art Venetian fought, Abraham Lopez, Manuel Avila. A lot of guys fought, man, all over. It was another one. Nico Hernandez, the Olympian, fought as well. Zilly Zhang Bang again. This guy is staying more active than he fought again. But yeah, I think that's about it. Unless you have any other headlines that we're missing.
No, I'm pretty sure we can go to the sponsors and the callers.
Yo, Nonito Donaire did not look good. I was watching the fight during the show. No bueno.
Yeah, I said that. I mean, he got the stoppage, but he went a bunch of rounds with a little boy. That was a little boy. When I seen the kid, I'm like, wow. I felt almost bad for the kid, but then the kid lasted so many rounds. Donaire, he's still looking for the big punch, man. We did an interview with him before the fight. Shout out to Anthony again. And he said he was changing his style, but he didn't. So we'll move it.
Yo, he didn't get the stoppage. That dude went 10 rounds with him.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, that's why I remember being like really disappointed. Like right now, I saw it and I was like, Okay, when's the knockout? When's the knockout? And I skipped to the last round, and then it went the full distance. And I was like, oh, wow.
Man, I must have fell asleep because I remember the YouTube being off. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess it stopped.
Sad. I mean, coming off almost a year of inactivity, it is. It's too bad because, you know,
I mean, he's a little older right now. So, but again, that type of tune-up, the kid looked very young. So I was just like, all right, this is a lot of inexperience. But then the kid was hanging in there. He was hitting Donaire with some good shots.
Yeah, that kid is 24. And
but what does his face look like, though? That's what his doesn't face he look so well. Young. He's like a baby. But anyway, let me get to the sponsors.
These calls are brought to you by
Shit. Actually, we don't even got Blog Talk is down. I forgot to say that. So there's no calls. We can't even take calls.
Skype? No one on Skype?
No. Well, Alexander, a couple of people were there, but in and out. You know how that is. Mm-hmm. Early night, movie night, date night, cake night.
Cake? Wait, no, we're not gonna break a diet. We're not Alexander Doomsday Lions.
Whatever. Yo, no BS though. I lost 10 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
How much do you weigh? 180.
Nah, 188, dude. I was at 198, and I'm at 188 now.
Damn, Steven. Steven, you put a lot of weight on your shoulders, bro. How much do you got to lose by January?
Just like 23 more pounds.
Yo, you know I found flights today from Philly to LAX, Matt? 202.
That's not bad.
That's fucking insane.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you got to jump on
that. You're never going to find something that cheap again.
I'm never going to find it. It's probably not there anymore.
I guarantee you it's not there anymore.
No, of course not. But I got that app, that little – I would say the name of the app, but then a bunch of you guys are going to download it, and it's not the greatest. They need to let you check all airlines. It only fucking does United and American. But I guess you could use Kayak the same way, you know. So I just watched that particular flight that I wanted to do, and I've been getting alerts on the prices. But yeah, man, Blog Talk is down, bro. So I guess we could, if you want, final thoughts. They're going to have to just love your thoughts time around.
Final thoughts. I know I'm getting some hate on the YouTube live chat for saying that a lot of these fights have been close the past week and a half.
Yeah, because you're mad. You're being political, man. You want to be politically correct. You want to remain friends with everybody.
You know what's sad is I'm a little bit inconsistent today, I'll be honest, because I think it was, yesterday, the day before, I was very adamant that there is a level of objectivity to scoring, and the fact that we get these really wide scorecards is ridiculous and they should not be happening. But it doesn't mean I can't see somebody scoring a card for Canelo. Or for Triple G, or for Parker, or for Fury, or for Campbell, or for Linares. And if you can't see that, I don't know. I mean, people are going to be opinionated and have their beliefs, but I agree to disagree, I guess, for everyone in the chat that doesn't like me saying that these fights are close, and I can see scorecards ranging from 7-5 to either person. But I'm Matt Thompson Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. P.S. Or peace.
P.S. Who you writing a love letter to?
Yo, man, I'm tired.
For real, what are the last X's and O's about?
Yo, it's to you, Stevie. Don't worry about it.
Thanks. Feel special.
Yo, come to me sometime.
My final thoughts. What's up?
No, go ahead.
Final thoughts are... that WBSS tournament is turning into something really amazing. I think that Zerda Ramirez, I don't have final thoughts on Zerda Ramirez yet. I'm still waiting to be super impressed by him. And the Venezuelan isn't that great. And I can never remember his name. Like, that's bad, right? Jorge Linares, I can never remember his name. I was just thinking it was the Venezuelan. I think he's kind of overrated. And yeah, that's about it.
And I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. make sure you subscribe to us on this YouTube channel. Drop us that 5-star review on iTunes. Helps with the visibility of the show. And if you're watching this in the future, present, past, hit that thumbs up. Catch me on Instagram and Twitter at NessGTO. Follow my vlog at patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice. I'm releasing my days in Puerto Rico pre-Irma. Check it out. Deuce.